Are there lessons we can learn from the pilgrims who founded Plymouth in 1620 and cast a long and positive shadow on America? In a film series that I've made on America's godly heritage, there's an entire episode dedicated to the pilgrims. In that documentary, Dennis Prager says the pilgrims founded America for all intents and purposes. One of the great guests in that program is Leo Martin, who co-founded with his wife, Nancy, the Jenny Center in Plymouth. And Leo Martin is an expert on the pilgrims, including what they have to teach us today. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Points. And Leo, it's great to talk with you again. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Jerry. Good to talk with you.
Sure. Okay, first of all, the pilgrims probably, you know, as a small group, they were basically one congregation. I'm sure they probably never thought of themselves necessarily as being, you know, world shapers and movers in all of history.
No, they did not. But they did put themselves under a covenant with God that caused them not to think of who they were, but who God was, and how that covenant with God, which is a promise with God as your witness, that they would form a body politic here with God in charge. And that covenant is called the Mayflower Compact. The Mayflower Compact was an unusual document. The pilgrims landed in the wrong place, so they had no law to be here in Plymouth, had to write their own law. And they wrote the Mayflower Compact, which was their law. And the Mayflower Compact begins by saying, in the name of God, amen. And then it mentions the pilgrims, or the people, and then it mentions the king, which means this. In England at the time, King James was the king of England and the head of the church. So as such, he thought he was God's representative on earth. That would be the divine right of king. And as such, he felt he was God on earth, so the pilgrims had to worship him. They didn't want to do that, being the products of the Reformation. They wanted to worship Jesus Christ, so they left England, went to Holland, then came here and wrote the Mayflower Compact, and they changed the power structure from God to the king to the people, from God to the people to the king or the representative. So now what the pilgrims have done is started a civil body politic with God in charge and biblical law. And that changed the world as we know it today. So now they're setting up a society based on biblical law where the people were in charge and the representatives were responsible to those people as long as they stayed responsible to the law of God.
Okay, and let me just give a couple of quick background here points. First of all, when the Bible was rediscovered, actually it was printed ultimately by the king, that is King Henry VIII, half a century or so before the whole situation with the pilgrims, when it was rediscovered, then a lot of people, as they were reading the Bible, they felt like, oh my, we need some reforms here. The Puritans were the ones who stayed within the Church of England working for its purity, but a very small subset of like-minded Puritans and other people who felt the same way theologically felt that, it's too far gone, and so we need to come out and be ye separate. These separatists had different congregations. It was all very secret and very illegal, quite frankly. And one of those separatist congregations is the very group we're talking about, the Pilgrims, the ones who founded Plymouth in 1620. Leo, can you explain to us how when they did the Mayflower voyage, they actually had to hire strangers who were there in their midst as part of their Bible Commonwealth that they were creating? They were therefore amenable to the goals of them starting this new colony, but they weren't a part of that church covenant that you referred to earlier. So explain the saints and strangers aspect of the pilgrims that founded Plymouth.
Okay, now what we have is we have the separatists, the pilgrims, wanting to come here to start a new life based on biblical law. But they couldn't afford to come, so they had to have that little trip financed. And it was financed by a guy named Thomas Weston back in England who made a deal with them. And the deal was you'd go to the New World, you'd work for 7 years, 6 days a week. Four of those 6 days go to me. You keep two for a personal profit. and at the end of 7 years, you own the property you personally developed. Now, that's not a bad deal, so they took it. Now, they're getting on the boat. He shows up on the dock, Weston, and says, I'm changing the deal. You'll work 6 of 6 days for me for 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, I own half your property. They were virtually indentured servants. But now they're back in England, so some of them said, we've got to go anyway. We've sold everything we have. Boss. Some of them said, I am not accepting that deal. So they didn't come, leaving the boat half empty. So Weston had to fill the boat, so he put it out. Whoever can afford to come can pay the freight. They can come. So now we have a boat half filled with people who do not think like the pilgrims. They're not separatists. So we have the pilgrims, the saints, and the separatists, and the other people, the strangers. So now they get on a boat, and they have a mixed group of people, which I think is kind of funny, because the separatists said simply, we're separated from the church, don't bother us, we won't bother you, just let us worship the way we want. And then God puts half the people on the boat that don't think like them. And then he says to them, get along with them.
Wait, let me just stop you real fast. Give us some statistics here. I know that there were about 102 people, human beings, on that ship. That included about, what, a dozen or so, or 10 crew members. Then, you know, what was the ratio of strangers and saints on the Mayflower?
That would have been split pretty much right down the middle, half and half. And there were about 30 crew members on the boat, so we do have these different groups of people.
Okay, now, by the way, these strangers that were there, they would be professing Christians, they just weren't a part of this particular congregation and covenant with the pilgrims, correct?
That is correct. And the way it would have told the difference between them is the separatists would have had the Geneva Bible, and the strangers would have had the King James Bible or the state Bible. They were still involved with the state church of King James, but they were coming mostly for economic reasons, or they had to get out of town because they were bad actors and that kind of thing. So now we have this separate thing. So then we write the Mayflower Compact, and we elect an official to run it, John Copper, and he was unanimously elected. Even the strangers voted for him.
Explain to us the thinking that went behind the Mayflower Compact. Surely that's not something that was developed by the strangers on board, but rather the saints. But this is a very important point, because the Mayflower Compact was the first step towards creating, ultimately, the United States of America in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution 150 years later.
And again, the Mayflower Compact begins... In the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King Defender of the Faith, etc., have undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in northern parts of Virginia. So again, as you can see, the power structure goes, having taken for the glory of God, then the advancement of the Christian faith, the people, then the honor of our king and country, the king, or the representative. And this was put together by the saints on the Mayflower before they got off, because they knew if they got off the Mayflower without writing this law, they would have lost half the people. They would have revolted. So this put down a rebellion that kept everybody together. And so now we build the colony with all 102 people, and as they go to church on Sunday, everybody went to church together. In other words, this affected even the strangers. The strangers looked at this and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a civil body politic, which means we're going to vote for the people we put in place, and we're going to put the best people we can in place. But every year we have a chance to change that. So they came on board, and they pretty much unanimously voted for John Carver to be the first governor of Plymouth.
Okay, and would you say that in many ways the ideas of the Mayflower Compact, which you said it comes from the saints, not the strangers, they were derived from the Bible, basically?
Absolutely derived from the Bible, and they were put in place before they even came. This whole idea was John Robinson's idea. He was the pastor back in England and in Holland, and his whole thoughts were to have a civil body politic with God. Now, he never made it over here. He died before he could get here. But this was all him putting this all together and how to honor God as our king and to keep him on his throne. And as long as we keep him on his throne, we have this covenant that will honor God and will keep chaos away, because we're built on biblical law, which is what we cannot change, biblical law. If I make the law, you can change it, because I'm a person. But I can't change God's law. And as long as God's law is in place, you're going to have a solid government. But the responsibility in this case is to put people in office who have character, integrity, and virtue. And if we do not do that, and we take God off his throne, we're going to have chaos. And today, unfortunately, we're trying to take God off his throne, even though I believe the Mayflower Compact is still valid. We Wow. need to keep God on his throne so we keep chaos out. But as we do that today, you can see we have a lot of chaos because we're trying to remove God from his throne.
Well, you know, I think the Mayflower Compact, in a very real sense, is this point: self-rule under God. The Declaration of Independence, self-rule under God. The Constitution, self-rule under God. But it all begins with the Mayflower Compact. Okay, we have only 3 minutes left. How did it go in the New World? I understand that they got along well with the Indians and showed a good Christian way to work in peace. And if more, you know, of the settlers who came afterwards had followed the example of the Pilgrims, there would have been a better situation in America.
Absolutely would have been. I wish we had still followed what the Pilgrims did. The way they built things, they wrote a peace treaty with the Indians that lasted 55 years, the longest lasting peace treaty with the Indians in our country's history. Now, how do you do that? They did that because John Robinson, in reading the Old Testament, came across a little passage called the Dominion Charter. We're to take dominion over the earth, over the animals, birds, fish, things that creep and crawl. But he also read this: not each other. He read, we're all made in the image of God. His thinking was, if we're all made in the image of God, then no human being has a right to be above another human being without their consent. Civil government is born with everybody equal in the sight of God. And that's why we treated the Indians equally. They were no different than us as far as God was concerned.
Okay, you mentioned earlier that Mr. Carver was elected unanimously, but he died within a year, I understand. And then William Bradford was elected over and over and over. Tell us about that. And Bradford is the key chronicler, not only as well as, you know, the key governor for years and years under of the Pilgrims.
Yeah, well, what happened again? John Carver did die the first winter, probably of heat stroke, and then William Bradford was elected governor or assistant governor 35 years in a row. And people asked me, well, how does that happen? How do they keep voting this guy back in? Every year they had an election. If you were to ask the governor, this is how he would explain it. He would say, look, I have a gift of leadership. I'm really good at it. But that gift has nothing to do with me. God gave me the gift. All I do is use it. So the Pilgrims felt they had different gifts from God that, if put together, they'd build a strong community. And Bradford was a gift of leadership. And a couple of years, he was not elected governor because he asked to take a break. Give me a break, guys. So they made him assistant governor. He didn't go far away. The guy had this gift for leadership that held the group together, and he made the choices that had to be made, tough ones and easy ones, but he was reelected every year. So he showed that gift of leadership.
All right. We're basically about out of time. I want to refer people to your website, thejenney.org. And that is a wonderful center, including a museum and so forth at Plymouth. And people can learn more about that. Thank you so much, Leo, for being with us. All the best and happy Thanksgiving. This is early happy Thanksgiving, but God bless you and all your work there.
Thank you very much, and God bless you, and great talking with you, Jerry.
Okay, you too now. Thanks. Bye-bye.